Hello and welcome to the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Analytics Podcast. I'm Scott Tappa, Director of the Conference, and I'd like to invite you to attend our event July 13th at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. We have a fantastic speaker lineup taking shape. Please visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference to learn more. Today I'm speaking with one of our speakers, Konstantinos Pelikrinis. Kostas is an associate professor at the University of Pittsburgh, and at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference, Kostas will deliver a talk titled Sports and Fractals. Kostas, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great. So let's start off by telling me about your background. How did you get involved in computer science, and how did you gravitate toward working with multidimensional data?
Yeah, so working with computer science started early in the days of high school, where I was always interested in new technologies. And I have worked in a variety of areas ranging from security in wireless networks to sports analytics, which is my focus during the last several years. I decided to study computer science and engineering since computing and information are now ubiquitous in so many different contexts. And this is one of the benefits of computer science, that as a field, it has the ability to deal with processing and computation of complex and multidimensional data sets. And this is basically how my involvement with multidimensional data started, from trying to see computation in different contexts.
So what was it about sports that got you headed down that path within that overall area?
Yeah, I think everything really started from my own personal interest in sports since I was a kid. I was playing basketball in Greece. But I knew, since I was fascinated by numbers, I knew that the odds of becoming really a professional sports player, especially being 5'10 for basketball, was very little, very small. So I thought a great way to stay in sports is to see them from a different point of view, that of statistics. And it was in the back of my mind for many years, but finally, 3-4 years ago, I put this in my research portfolio. So I'm working on this area right now.
All right. So let's talk about some of the projects that you've worked on. Looking through your CV, you've worked with NFL data. You've worked with three-point shooting in the NBA. You've worked with Major League Soccer. Just give us a high-level overview of some of your projects that you've worked on.
Yeah, certainly. My work is mainly centered about around modeling and performance evaluation. So as you said, I have created models for win probabilities for NFL and NBA. And the most interesting thing about this project is the in-game win probabilities. So given a specific state of the game, what's the probability that the team will eventually win? And this is useful because it can evaluate players, how much is the probability added by every player, by every play, and also make in-game strategic decisions. For example, in NFL, if you take a timeout at the beginning of the third quarter in order to avoid a delay of game penalty, right? Is it going to increase your win probability, or is it better to keep the timeout for later? This is the holy grail of sports analytics, so having a way to evaluate players and plays, and this is what my work is revolved around. I have also tried to work on solving the continuous debate about going for two and going on a fourth down, so I have added my noise, as I like to say there. And as you said, I have done some work with soccer data, MLS shooting data on shot quality and expected goals model, and mainly focusing on how well the probability of getting a goal is modeled, rather than predicting whether there will be a goal or not.
Okay. So as a Milwaukee Bucks fan, whose son's favorite player happens to be maybe the best player from your home country, if Giannis develops a three-point shot, is he unguardable and the best player in the NBA?
I have to say yes. For many reasons.
Yeah, I have to also. That'd be great. I hope that comes. I hope that comes too. So anyway, back on topic here. Back on topic. You're publishing a sports analytics blog. Tell us about where our listeners can find that and what they will find published there if they.
Yeah. Definitely. So my blog is on WordPress blog. So it's 412sportsanalytics.wordpress.com. And there people basically what they will find is summaries of my research papers, but also a lot of analysis that it's not published in research venues. And it's not published either because they're fairly short projects that cannot justify an academic publication, or because they're still in preliminary stage. So people in academia do not really like to put unpublished stuff online, but I'm in the opinion that you know, this can foster and drive innovation in a shorter time. So I certainly have more ideas than I can work on. So if other people pick up on something from my blog and they think it is interesting and work on it more, that's great.
So just some recent blog posts from Costas's blog. Again, that's 412sportsanalytics.wordpress.com. Titles include Clock Management in the NFL, What is a Timeout Worth? Can NBA Substitution Networks Explain a Team's Performance? Tournament Design, Designing the Length of a Playoff Series. Where do these questions come to you? I mean, is it these are just curiosities that you have, or are they are people bringing them to you to look into? How do these ideas happen?
So most of them, I would say, are curiosity. And, you know, the more you see the games, the more you see a game from the lens of data and analysis and modeling, the more questions come up. And mainly what I like to examine is when there is a decision where, you know, it's the status quo that people will do this, will take this decision when this happens without questioning them, right? So, for example, the clock management post deals with whether to take a timeout early in the game to avoid a 5-yard penalty for a delay of game, or keep the timeout for later, which is more valuable. Almost everyone takes a timeout if they manage to see that the clock is running and they want to avoid this 5-yard penalty. But the analysis says that most probably that's not the best thing to do. So really, most of the questions are curiosity. Of course, some questions come up with discussions with other people that work in the area, but I would say about 75% of the questions on the blog are pure curiosity.
And what might you be looking at next, for either for a blog post or a full-fledged research project?
In general, I'm really interested in a higher level understanding of individual sports. And what this means is that analysis that will enable to answer questions, for example, how important is really the offensive line in an NFL, right? Or are running backs underpaid or not? What does it mean to have good ball movement in soccer or basketball? This actually will not only help us understand the sport better, but it can also drive rule changes. And NFL is changing rules pretty much every year, trying to achieve some objectives. But there are other sports that can benefit from that. So do we need finally, for example, to move the three-point line further in the NBA to generate different types of plays, develop different kind of skills? If we decide to do it, where do we place the line? What is the rationale behind this distance? So these are some of the questions I'm interested in. And of course, I hope at some point to find time to get background on the economics of the draft, which is a crucial problem for professional teams. And I have not worked on it at all, but I believe that's something where people can make a real difference in teams. Great. By choosing the right players.
So tell us a little bit about Sports and Fractals, the talk that you'll be delivering at our conference.
Yeah, so as you said, my talk in the conference will be about fractals and sports. And it came basically by trying to combine my main methodological research agenda, which revolves around complex systems and networks, and trying to apply it in sports. So the main idea there is that if you think about it, sports are really complex systems where you have players that interact with each other, interact with the opponent's players. So it's really a complex system. And here's where the idea for using complex system theory to model sports came about. So it turns out, as I will talk about, that fractal theory has some interesting tools for analyzing spatial data. So data that have to do with trajectories of players, data basically that we now have for many sports. So in this talk, what I will show is how the notion of fractal dimensionality can be used to capture things like the versatility of a basketball player with regards to shot taking and making, or how fractal dimensionality can accurately describe the rational bias that players have with regards to taking three-point shots around the three-point line. So instead of taking a two-point shot a little inside the line, they prefer to take the three-point shot, or even to quantify ball movement. So how can fractal theory actually develop a quantitative measure that could potentially be used to describe ball movement? But it's not only basketball, so I will also present similar analysis that we have done for soccer using similar data and similar notions.
All right, great. Kostas, what advice would you have for anybody maybe with a similar background to yours who's interested in getting involved in sports analytics?
Yeah, so one of the things that I believe people that want to get involved with sports need to understand is knowing the sports itself is not enough, right? No, having watched a lot of games and knowing many things about strategy is not enough. In fact, teams might be looking for someone that will bring a new way of thinking. So with that respect, less knowledge of the sport might be desirable because you start from, you know, not any biases. But of course, deep knowledge of analytics is needed. Unfortunately, the venues where people can gather and talk about sports, similar to actually the one you're putting together in July, are not that many. So really, I would suggest people start writing blog, in posting interesting analysis, talk with other people online, maybe use some, you know, there are Reddit forums where people interested in sports analytics, they can discuss and meet other people that are interested in analytics. But I see this this trend towards sports analytics getting more popular, so I hope that there will be way more venues like the one you're putting together for people to gather and discuss and get to know each other and get involved more.
Yeah, and we hope a lot of you can join us for that. Just going back to what you just said, I thought that was a really interesting comment about less knowledge of the sport might be interesting. I mean, because you can make the case either way, right? That you need a certain level of, I think a previous person I talked to called it domain knowledge, in order to understand generally what's going on. But if you are coming in at it from a fresh perspective with new eyes and not weighed down with previous expectations and status quo and all those things, I mean, you may uncover a breakthrough of how to approach strategy or player evaluation or anything like that. So that's a good perspective. So Kostas, where can people find out more about your work, online or on social media?
Yeah, so my website has mainly academic stuff and some, of course, from sports. So it's www.pitt.edu/tildekpele. So that's my website at Pitt. And of course, any analysis I do, I post on Twitter, where you can follow me at K Pellegrinis.
All right. My guest today has been Konstantinos Pellegrinis of the University of Pittsburgh at the Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference. Kostas will deliver a talk titled Sports and Fractals. Hey, Kostas, thanks for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thank you for talking with me.
Great, and thank you for listening. The Great Lakes Analytics and Sports Conference will be Thursday, July 13th at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. Visit www.uwsp.edu/analyticsconference for details, and make sure to follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at @analyticsconf. Thank you for listening.